Hey everyone, how's everyone doing?
Good.
Sid is so great. He extends an open invitation to me to share the word with you at any time. And it's taken me a while to get here. But I have to tell you, sort of my journey is I started off probably like in the beginning of the summer thinking about what I'm going to teach. And my first teaching was Let Go and Let God. Then Bobby taught this great teaching on Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. So I tossed that one. So not that you can't teach on, you know, the same subject, because it's always different, as you'll see. So then I was thinking about teaching on trust. Then Janet did this great teaching on trust. And then, you know, how it goes. So I said, okay, rest for God's people. That is it. Went up to the cabin, spent the weekend working on my teaching. I'm like, you know, if I'm not here, I listen to all the teachings on the tapes. And so I'm asking Sid, like, okay, Sid, what are you teaching, you know? He's teaching, okay, value of the word in your life. So I'm like, yes, okay. So then I get to Leaders Fellowship. And Sid goes, tonight I'm going to be teaching on God's rest. I'm like, what? Linda's like, so anyway, guess what? I'm teaching on God's rest this morning because I've had it. Exactly. And of course, you know, so some of you did hear teaching on God's rest, but of course, you know, it's going to be totally different because that's just the way it is. Okay, so God always wanted his people to have rest. He wanted us to have, to be settled. So what is rest? It's to be settled, to be still, to be free from disquieting thoughts, to be peaceful. It's freedom from anything that wearies, troubles, or disturbs us. And our gracious God has always, always provided that for us. And I want to start off in Genesis and actually look at the first usage of rest in the Bible. And we're actually going to start in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And earth was or became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And guess what?
There was light.
That's right. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was what?
So.
Okay, so we're starting off here learning something about God, okay? Number one, God's pretty powerful, isn't he?
Yeah.
Created the heavens and the earth. I mean, that is awesome. And guess what else? When God wanted something to happen, he said it. That's right. And then what happened?
Yeah.
It happened. That's right. So there's faithfulness in God's word. He said it, and then he made it happen. Right? It says he made the firmaments. And there's also power in God's word. And he's setting forth his example here for us to learn. Because he could have just made the firmaments. He could have just made everything. But he said it. He's faithful to his word. Said that there was power in that word. And he brought it to pass. He provided it. So in chapter 2, so then, you know, went on and on and on. And he pretty much, he provided everything that mankind would need. In verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. They were done. They were complete. And all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he did what? rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Okay. Does God need to rest?
No.
No. No. So it's a what? Figure of speech. That's right. So he's teaching something here. The teaching is, you cease from your own work and you rest in the accomplishments, the completeness of what has just happened. Okay. So, and that's what God did it. The word rest there is Shabbat. That's where we get the word Sabbath from. Day of rest. Okay. Go to Psalm 37. We'll just read a little bit about God's rest. Psalm 37, and we're going to begin in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So here we have trust, delight, commit, and trust. And when you do these things, it says that he shall bring it to pass. Our job is to trust, to commit, delight. God's job is to bring things to pass. And that's one of the things that we learn from reading about all these Old Testament records, is that God makes a promise, you believe, God brings it to pass. Ever? How many people used to watch Saturday Night Live? Old people. Okay. Exactly. All the old. I'm talking about old Saturday Night Live. Chevy Chase. Okay. Right. So Chevy Chase would do his weekend update, and he would start it off and said, he would say, "Hi, I'm Chevy Chase," and you're not. Okay. This is God speaking to us. Hi, I'm God, and
you're not.
That's right. There you go. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, right? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God is the one that gives us our strength. He's the one that provides that resting place for his people. And I want to go and look a little bit about the children of Israel, because that was really a great Old Testament study on people that God wanted to enter into his rest. And unfortunately, some of them didn't believe, so therefore they did not enter into his rest. Some did, and eventually did enter into his rest. So I just want to look at Exodus chapter 14. And this is talking about the record where Moses brought the children of Israel out of bondage, out of captivity. And they're fleeing the Egyptians. And then they came up against an obstacle, a body of water, seemingly odds that could not be overcome. So this is the response. Verse 11 of chapter 14. All right, let's start at 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. What were they looking at? What were their eyes looking at?
Circumstance,
exactly. The enemy, not God. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Not exactly thankful there, are they? No. Is it not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Kind of rewriting history here, you know. We all sort of do that sometimes. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still. And that stand still is the same word as rest used in Psalm 37. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And that's the thing we always have to remember, is that God is the one that fights for us. All we do is rest in what he's accomplished on our behalf. He has fought the battles. The battles have already been won. Even if they haven't been physically fought, you know, future, they've already been won. So that's what he's teaching them. And he just always, always provides. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I just thought this was just a great little group of verses talking about Hezekiah here. So chapter 32, verse 1, 2 Chronicles. Yep, sorry. Chapter 32, 2 Chronicles. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than him. For with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Isn't that awesome? They rested themselves in God's word. You know, there's a lot of times where the circumstances just seem overwhelming, just seem insurmountable. But, you know, if God be for us, who can be against us? And that's the bottom line. That's what we have to always keep our eyes on God as our provider, on God as giving us that rest. Because there's situations, circumstances that we face daily where it'll want to steal your peace. It'll want to make you unsettled. It'll want to make you worry, fear. But God has provided his rest for us. And he provides the rest for numerous reasons, because he loves us. He wants us to just be, you know, blessed and happy. And a lot of times he provides rest so people can accomplish things. He provided Solomon rest so that he could build the temple, it says. And that doesn't sound like it'd be an easy job. I work a little construction, you know. There's always something going on. And but that's what God is teaching. And for the children of Israel, he promised them, look, you could go to Canaan. You know, there's vineyards planted. There's houses built. There's, you know, great things in store. It's a land of milk and honey. It's great. All you have to do is go in and possess it. It's already yours. It's a done deal. So that's the promise, right? So did they believe that or not believe it? They didn't believe it. Well, actually, two of them believed it, Joshua and Caleb. They said they wanted to go in. They took one representative from each tribe. 12 of them went in. For 40 days, they checked it out. They're like, wow, this is great. You know, there's abundance, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, there's people there that are like huge. They're like giants. And we're, in their eyes, as grasshoppers. So they didn't see themselves as victorious. They saw themselves as the grasshoppers facing the giants. Is that what God said?
No.
Said, look, you know, I'm a mighty and powerful God, creator of the heavens and the earth. You believe my word, you go in there, you're going to find great rest. And two of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, you know, let's do it, let's go. The other one said, no, I think I'm going to try to kill you, but that's another story. They didn't, you know, they just didn't, they couldn't enter because they didn't believe. And so God said, okay, for every day that you were there, 40 days, now you're going to wander in the wilderness, and, you know, I'm still going to provide for you, but that generation that didn't believe is going to die off. And then Caleb and Joshua are going to go in. So I just actually want to look at one record kind of concerning that. I'm trying to watch my time here. And it's about God providing for the children of Israel, and it's the record of manna in Exodus chapter 16. And we're going to pick it up in chapter 16, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. They were complaining because, you know, they didn't feel like they were getting enough to eat, and they wanted God to do something about it. They thought they were going to die again, etc. It seemed like they were doing a lot of complaining, you know? But, you know, if they believed, they wouldn't be in that situation. In verse 13, and it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round with the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they knew not what it was. Right? Isn't that what manna means?
Yeah.
I mean, what is it? I mean, it's really funny. Don't ever say that to your wife as she cooks you a meal. Like, you know, puts it, is that manna? What is that? For they knew not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in the tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it out with an omer, that's how you pronounce it, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. God provided that which they needed for the day. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. So here again, God provided something and said, look, don't worry about tomorrow. I'm going to take care of you today. Just do what I say. And guess what? There's always some people that they just feel like, you know, maybe God doesn't quite have this covered for me. I just need to do a little bit of this myself just to hedge my bets. And they ended up with something stinking. And they gathered it, 21. And they gathered it every morning, and every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and see that you will seethe, and that which remaining over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Okay, so God said, look, here you do it. You gather 2 days. This is what I'm going to provide for you so that on the seventh day, you're going to be able to rest. Okay? So that's what they did, and it worked. Verse 27, and it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. Once again, you know, there's always going to be people that, were they resting?
No.
They were trying to do something by their own works because they didn't think God had them covered, right? Okay. And that did not please God. You know, what pleases God?
Believing,
that's right. God had his word spoken. People didn't believe. They disobeyed. They didn't enter into that rest that day because they were trying to work things out by themselves. Right? Unbelievable. Okay, how's my time doing? Does anyone have any idea?
Yeah, you got 22 minutes.
Okay, I'm good. We're going to Joshua then. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Okay, so Joshua, one of the people that believed, is now going to enter the promised land, the land of rest, God says. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's just unbelievable. Great, encouraging words. You know, and it applies to us today too. You know, God is a God that provides. God is a God that always wants us to be restful, to be peaceful. And he's always with us. You know, we've seen it documented by his word. He will not fail us nor forsake us. Be strong, verse 6, and a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swore unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand and to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. See, it takes strength and courage to do God's word. You know, sometimes you just have to step up to the plate. Sometimes you just have to ignore all the nonsense going on. We heard it in manifestations, you know. And, you know, get obstinate on God's word. We just have to say, look, I'm going to believe. I don't care about any of the circumstances, any of the situations. God has continuously come through for people throughout history, documented in God's word. We all know of people where this has happened, and I am going to believe. And that's going to bring you rest. That's going to bring you peace, because there's power in God's word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So they got to go in, and it says in verse 15, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, she hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. So that's what God did to and for the children of Israel, had a place of rest. But we have a better place of rest. So now we have to get into something that directly applies to us, which is the rest of Jesus Christ, which God has provided for us. So go to Matthew chapter 11. You know, Sid talked about what it cost God to, what went into really of making us righteous, making us sanctified. And a lot of times we don't put all the thought into what that entailed. And, it entailed a lot. It entailed love. It entailed giving. Jesus Christ gave his life on our behalf. And one of the things he said at the end was, it is finished. And that's what we always have to remember in our own lives. You know, it's finished. We don't have to do anything but believe. And that is how we enter into God's rest available today. In chapter 11, verse 28, is Jesus Christ talking. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, it means burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So he's exhorting them to come unto him and to learn of him. And that's the promise. You shall find rest. That is an absolute. When you come unto Jesus Christ and you learn what he did for us on our behalf, that is rest. That is the rest that God wants us to enjoy. And we're getting winding down here. We're going to Hebrews. Chapter 3. In verse 1 it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all of his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. See, what happened with Moses, that's a testimony of things that were coming with Jesus Christ. But Christ, as the Son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And that's the hope of Christ's return. And if we go down to verse 14, it says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." That's what we do. We hold tight the confidence that we have in God. Our real rest is what God accomplished in Jesus Christ, the hope of his return. And in chapter 4 it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into rest, any of us should seem to come short. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. For the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what?
Faith.
In them that heard it." See, you have to believe. It said that they didn't enter in. Well, I think it's coming up, actually. "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain day, certain place of the seventh day on his wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, that they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief." It's talking about the children of Israel, what we went over. Some just didn't enter because they didn't believe. "Again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus," that's actually Joshua, "for if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" Joshua gave the children of Israel rest in the promised land, Canaan. But there was a greater rest that was going to come through Jesus Christ. And it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." And that word, their rest, is sabbatismo. It's a Sabbath type of rest. And it's the only time it's used in the New Testament. And that's our rest. "For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." See, that's our example set forth in Genesis that I read. We have to just let it go. It's a done deal. It's finished. We just need to go in like the children of Israel. We need to enter into the rest that was provided by Jesus Christ. And it says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." That word labor there is spoudazo. Same as study to show thyself approved unto God. See, our labor in today's day and time, it's not that we work 6 days a week and we rest on the seventh. Our labor is the diligent effort that we put into believing God's word so that we can rest in the finished works of Jesus Christ. Every day is a Sabbath day to us because of Jesus Christ. That's our spoudazo, that's our labor. It says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." And that leads us unto the great verse here in verse 12, the power of God's word in our life that allows us to enter into that rest. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So, you know, you have to see yourself how God sees us. We are seated in the heavenlies. That implies a finished and complete work. We are in God's presence. In God's presence, there is fullness of joy. We are at rest because what God accomplished through the finished work of Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen. Amen.